Degrees of Disturbance, Working with Students with Mental Health Issues. The central driving question for this piece of research stemmed from a desire to find out more about staff's experience of helping students with mental wellbeing issues and the kind of training staff might find helpful to help them in working with such students. The study's findings fit very much with other research. Particularly pertinent were the recommendations from the Royal College of Psychiatrists, their recent report in 2011, which really fitted with the findings here. So the context that staff working in higher education and students studying in higher education are in. The context is one of very much increasing pressure on higher education staff and students and the resources within the sector. Four very pertinent factors: the explosion in student numbers over recent years, the fact that students are recognised as a vulnerable group, the increasing financial pressures students are facing, particularly with the changes in funding to education, and student services being under pressure. In terms of the explosion in numbers, there's also a greater number of students with mental health issues accessing higher education, and the staff ratios have nearly tripled in recent decades, a study that Collini in 2012 has done. In terms of students themselves, the Royal College of Psychiatrists found that 15% of undergraduates were experiencing depression or anxiety disorder. And Berwick et al. In 2008 found that there was 29% describing clinical levels of psychological distress. The forthcoming cuts, and the cuts that are already hitting the sector, are a concern. Shepherd in 2010 was identifying this as a concern in a sector that's already recognised as being squeezed. And the stress and emotional exhaustion in academics is linked to high student numbers, a finding by Rees in 2011. So this investigative study was based with 10 staff at Staffordshire University. They completed a 2-page questionnaire after taking part in a 2-day listening and counselling skills course. This is a course that's delivered by the counselling service. The study strengths: there was a variety of study strengths. The anonymity that the questionnaire provided was seen as a positive, and there was a 100% completion rate. Also, a variety of staff were represented within the study, including personal tutors and academics. There are, however, recognised limitations to the study. It is a small sample and it focuses on staff, not student experience. The three key main findings were that staff are strapped for time. More mental wellbeing related training is needed by staff, and staff also affirm the importance of mental wellbeing services. In terms of the time factor, this is very much in common with findings elsewhere. Staff talked about having to drop everything and consequently having to take ever more work home. They explained staff support for student often takes place during lunch breaks or in between teaching commitments, and this clearly puts strain on staff. The range of complex issues that they were coming across in the students that they're working with was quite striking. Bipolarity, panic attacks, suicidal thoughts, depression, anxiety, and self-harm. And these findings raise concern given the importance of identifying students at risk. Staff described their work as very draining and did refer to emotional exhaustion. and this is clearly a concern given the forthcoming cuts within the higher education sector. In terms of training staff find helpful, the two-day listening and counting skills course was rated very highly by staff. It's got a learner-centred and experiential focus, very much in line with the work of Carl Rogers back in the 1980s. Courses such as this also meet the transformational element proposed by the Mental Health in Higher Education project and the inclusion principles identified by Craig in 2010. These factors seemed very much valued by staff. Staff wanted more of this kind of training. They were interested in follow-on courses, they were interested in psychoeducational workshops for staff and more training in mental wellbeing issues. This fits also with Rice's findings that individual staff should not be blamed for the deficiencies within the sector and that institutions should take responsibility for the wider issues. The third finding about staff affirming the importance of mental wellbeing services was also very much in evidence. They found it really helpful knowing what sort of support is available and also having colleagues with experience that they could seek advice and guidance and support from. The affirmation of support services is an issue given the current government's initiatives to cut these kind of services. So the overall conclusion was that it is time to change. The Equality Act of 2010 increasingly equal responsibilities of organisations towards people with mental health issues and widening participation continues to be a central focus in the HE sector. In terms of ways forward, there's a wealth of good practice out there, such as the Health Promoting University initiative as proposed by the Working Group for the Promotion of Mental Wellbeing in Higher Education. There's lots of resources within the Mental Health in Higher Education project and a real encouragement to promote cross-institutional policy and training initiatives to share this good practice and expertise. SASH universities long recognise the value of in-house support for students and relevant training for staff. Its Student Enabling Centre has a well-established counselling service, specialist student advisors and mentors focusing on mental wellbeing. Current innovations include psychoeducational workshops for students, further mental wellbeing training for staff and possibly psychoeducational workshops for staff. The counselling service and the way it promotes its training for staff very much takes account of staff's views and it will continue to do so. A quote by the Mental Health in Higher Education seems to sum up a lot in terms of the research out there. Effective mental health promotion involves not only attending to the needs of those with mental health difficulties, but also promoting the general mental well-being of all staff and students, which will in itself bring significant benefits to the higher education institution.